You're listening to Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle, a podcast on leadership, creativity, and building great churches. You can find Kelly online at kellystickle.com.
Hi, Victory Nation. Welcome to Inside My Victory, a podcast about the church, leadership, and creativity. I'm Pastor Gene.
And I'm Pastor Kelly. And you can follow along with the notes we provided for you at my website, kellystickle.com.
And if you have questions you would like us to answer or subject matter you would like us to discuss, please email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yeah, please take advantage of this. If you're a pastor or a leader and you have a question that is specific to your situation, email us again, leadership@myvictory.ca. We would love to take it on.
Yes, we would. How are you, Pastor Kelly?
I'm doing great.
Good. Wow, look what time of the year it is.
Yeah, I know. It's the I love spring, and I love getting rolling into summer here.
Green is so beautiful.
It's so nice.
Well, it's summertime, and you know what happens in summertime. In a few weeks, all the people in the church begin taking vacations. And so what's a pastor to do, Pastor Kelly? And that's the topic for today.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you take advantage of this strange time we call summer? What can a pastor do?
Yeah, a pastor's ego can really get damaged strongly in summertime when our attendance typically drifts, or people stay away on weekends, or they're on holidays, and our numbers go down. And so it's very difficult on a pastor. So the temptation for most pastors and most churches is to kind of shut down all the programs, shut down everything that they're doing. And I think that is probably not the wisest thing to do.
No.
I know it's easier and people are tired, and there's lots of good reasons, you know, to slow down in the summertime. Pastors are tired, volunteers are tired, you know, staff is tired. So the typical thing is, hey, the people aren't here, so let's shut the programs down. But I think the problem with that is that in the summertime is typically, for most churches, is a time when a lot of people will visit a church.
And, that's
and
true.
Will check it out. And so if they visit your church and they come in the summertime and you've got nothing to offer except for just that service and everything is bare bones and done half well as compared to what you would normally do, it's very difficult to retain those visitors.
It's a great opportunity.
So I think it's important as a pastor to resist that temptation to shut everything down. Now, there's certain things that you can maybe back off of or change kind of the approach on. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. But I think it's something that we need to think through and talk about as pastors, and making sure that, hey, what is the wisest thing for us to do, and how could we take advantage of summer? So that was a topic that we had around here. Discussions we had around here with our staff right from the beginning 8 years ago.
Yeah,
we started talking about what are we going to do in summertime, because the church here, their habit was to shut everything down. And I started asking questions, and then they said, well, maybe we shouldn't. So that's one of the reasons why I often talk about the seven growth points of every church. You know, numbers are one growth point.
Right.
And numbers are you know, we typically, when we say a church is growing, we say, well, they're growing numerically. Their attendance is going up or going down. And so we talk about church growth in that aspect. But I think when we talk about that aspect, it's difficult to say, well, we're having a successful time if we only try, you know, in the summertime when our attendance typically goes down for most churches. So that's why I like talking about the seven growth points. I don't think numbers just one of those.
Yeah.
But the seven growth points are you know, areas that, you know, there's other areas within the church and the organization that need to grow as well.
It's a broader vision of the church.
Much broader vision.
Yes.
So I put those, I go through those again real quickly. I put those on my desk, and we talk about them often as a team. But seven growth points again are, number one is the leader. So the leader has to grow. If the leader stops growing, the organization will stop growing. John Maxwell says everything rises and falls on leadership.
Yes, it does.
And it is true. number two is the leadership team must grow. So, you know, if your team stops growing, then there's going to be parts of your departments or parts of what you offer that's going to stop growing. So, for instance, if your children's leader and children's team stops growing, then the children's ministry is not going to grow, and that's going to become a bottleneck for your church as well. So you got to intentionally grow your team and continue to grow them as they grow with you.
I like that it's shifting the energy that normally goes into a Sunday performance.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
To a totally different direction. That's yes. really going to benefit, you know, in yeah. the next coming months.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So you want to grow your leadership team, and then number three is the systems must grow. So the systems are, again, aren't going to grow. A system is not going to grow a church, but having faulty systems is really going to hinder a church
yes.
from growing. And there's never a one-size-fits-all system that's going to continually grow. Your systems are you're going to outgrow if you're growing
you
numerically.
Really will. Yes.
You will outgrow your systems, and you're going to have to adjust that. Number four is the numbers have to grow. Number five, finances have to grow. Again, if having a full bank account is not going to guarantee you're going to, you know, attract more people and grow numerically, but having an empty bank account is going to really make it difficult to grow.
It will make a difference.
Number six, the expectations of our attendees must grow. So expectations, that one is based off of the fact that Jesus wasn't able to do miracles in his hometown, which I find a fascinating part of scripture. This is God. This is Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, walked on water, had the power to do anything he wanted to, but was unable to do miracles in hometown because their expectations were, this is just Jesus. They were too familiar with him, and so their expectations were too low. Well, that translates into our churches. If people come into our churches with the same old, low expectations, we know what to expect, and we know what's going to happen, and so we know all of that. Then that's going to be really hindrance, because people aren't going to come in with excitement, and your anointing level is going to be affected by mm-hmm. that expectation level. So
yes.
if you raise the expectation level, then that grows the church as well. Number seven is the facilities must grow. So again, facilities aren't going to grow a church or guarantee that a church is going to grow numerically, but a lack of facilities is going to hinder a church from growing.
Right.
And it's not just, your auditorium, but it's also your children's area and your parking lot. If you reach capacity in any one of those things, it's going to be a hindrance to growth.
Yeah, I love the fact that something is happening.
Yeah.
And you're creating that buzz that there is something happening.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be the attendance at the moment, but it is preparation for that.
Yeah, and it really is. So when we talk about summertime, I always look, these seven things are always on my desk. I'm always looking at them. I'm always evaluating what do we need to grow now. But when it comes to summertime, and I know, okay, summertime is not the time of year that I'm numerically going to grow, in our attendance numbers aren't going to grow. So now I have to look at and say, okay, what else of these seven, what else should I invest in and grow? And so the summertime is a time where I'll recreate myself or grow myself or invest in myself. And
you don't wait till summertime to figure out how you're going to do that.
No,
this
exactly.
is ongoing. Yeah.
So in the summertime, I'll actually take a week away and pray and pray for through the next year, kind of grow myself and focus on me. Summertime is also a great time to for the leadership team to grow. And yes. so summertime is when we typically will take our team to a conference and we'll grow together. Mm-hmm. It's also when we take holidays, and even with holidays, we teach our staff how to take a holiday, so that they're not just resting, they're recreating as well. And in summer, most summers we evaluate our systems, right? We go through and saying, okay, which systems have been antiquated? Which ones have we outgrown? Which ones do we need to tweak to get a little bit more efficient? And summer is a great time to do that. For us in Lethbridge, our numerical growth time is typically Thanksgiving, which is early here in Canada. In October, Thanksgiving to Christmas is a numerical, peak time. Easter to May long weekend is another numerical peak time. So when you're in a numerical peak time and growth time, mm-hmm. we're investing all of our energies into growing our numbers there and working that. That is not the time to tweak systems. That's the time to harvest.
Right.
But when you when it comes into summertime and the numbers go down, that's the time. Then you say, okay, well, what pressures did the numerical growth we had between Easter and May long weekend put on us, and what can we foresee coming in the fall, and what should we tweak and work on?
So while you're growing yourselves, you're growing leadership, et cetera, during the summertime, but you also have to strategize for the fall.
Yes.
So how do you structure that adventure? to develop things for the fall?
Well, in the fall, one of the things that is, someone said this to me years ago, and I didn't really hold as much weight to it as I probably should have. But one thing I've realized that typically in churches, your Easter Sunday attendance is going to determine what your average attendance will be in the fall. And that hasn't always been the case every year for us, but for the most part, it's been really, really close. So then you know, okay, when you get everyone comes back, school comes back in, you know, and people get back into routines in the fall, and they come back from holidays and everybody starts to settle in, your numbers go up. And so that puts pressure on things. So that you want to be able to be ready. If that's, again, another harvest time, you want to be able to prepare and make sure your system. So, you know, taking harvest time as an example, a farmer, you know, when harvest time is coming, he's full on in the fields. He's working all the rest of it. But he's made sure that all of his machinery is going to run properly. He's made sure that he's got, you know, he's got enough bins for what he's anticipating the harvest is going to be. He's made sure that, you know, he's got the staff or whatever he's going to need to be able to pull the harvest off the most efficiently. He's studying weather charts. He's doing all of that. So he's preparing for the harvest. That's the same thing that we need to do as pastors, is prepare for that harvest as well.
You know, old school would be preparing for the new year, January.
Right.
But I think it's much more practical, it's much more valuable for our ministry to really plan for that fall and to grow out of the Easter time. That's just a good connection.
Yeah, it is. And I think you know, a new year in the typical calendar, January to December is a year. I think in the church calendar, it's probably better to go with kind of the school year kind of thing is September to August, and kind of say our new year as a church is really, you know, the new season is September to September.
And not strategizing in that way, I think, causes summer to be the slump.
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
And I mean, there's some churches in the southern states and that where, you know, they'll get a spike in attendance in January, for instance, you know, and that becomes a time of growth for them. In Canada, that's not necessarily the case here. I haven't, in my experience in pastoring in Canada, I haven't seen that, or the pastors that I know, I haven't seen that in Canada. I think January, it's really, really cold and
unpredictable.
It's unpredictable, and so people aren't always going to come out. So,
but I think it's really smart to play off of Easter and then make that transition to grow your staff, grow yourself, et cetera, in preparation, putting things in line. You're really aligning everything for that fall.
And I think it's really about a pastor studying their seasons, right? And each church is different. So if yours is different than ours, but study your seasons and go, okay, so what are our chart? What's our growth chart trends? Mm-hmm. And do we see a trend in the summer? You know, for instance, in Lethbridge, we have a trend in the summertime where our attendance really dips. Our other three campuses, you know, they don't dip nearly as much as what we do in Lethbridge. So each church is going to be a little bit different in those things. And so you have to plan accordingly to your season.
And each leader is different. So growing yourself, there are times that I know there's going to be a slump and I need to kick up my growth pattern for myself.
Yeah.
I think that's true too. So this is really a good subject. And it's important because as ministry and as the church, as we always say, we are the hope of the world and we are on this mission to reach every available person.
At every available time.
By every available means.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ.
By creating churches.
Unchurched people love to attend.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle. Kelly would like to answer your specific questions about church, leadership, and creativity in an upcoming podcast. You can send your questions to leadership@myvictory.ca. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is rate it, review it, and share it. It's a great way for you to help us equip more and more people who will build great soul-winning churches. Thank you again for joining us on the Inside My Victory podcast.